We're getting these absurd ideas that what we want is our first graders to have a Glock on their hip.
Well, I'm a doodler.
The law matters. It's not an abstract notion, the law. The law has a huge impact on the people of this country, and that's why upholding the Constitution matters so much.
Yeah, I know you mean it, Sideshow, don't you? Welcome back to Todd Herman Show. Here's what we got from Kim Wyman's office. The illegally formatted I-1639 is going to go on the ballot. There's still going to be a court challenge on this. No, the Supreme Court is not the is because of the way they structured their ruling, because it was narrow, and frankly because it's stupidly written, and also frankly because the justices never even read it. In all likelihood, it was a court commissioner, and even at that, a junior court commissioner who wrote the decision. There's still going to be a court challenge on this ridiculous initiative, but it's going on the ballot right now. The number of problems with this starts with the fact that the initiative people signed literally, and I am not exaggerating, literally does not contain the texts of the initiative. It doesn't, and that violates state law. Now, Kim Wyman is not allowed to block it from being on the ballot because of that. That's a legislative decision. And Kim came on our show twice. And I went, I mean, I'm polite with Kim. I like Kim. But it was not an easy interview. Many of you commented on the fact that, wow, you can be really hard on a friend. I don't know that she's a friend. I like her. I don't know her that well. But she came on twice. And I honor her for that. We have a single topic state. Initiatives are supposed to have a single topic. That's it. Iman has had initiatives overturned because the justices have pretended it was more than one topic. This initiative has at least 17 topics. It requires a mandatory firearm safety program if you want to buy what they've decided is an assault rifle. By the way, the state will decide what that safety program entails, who teaches it, who's approved to teach it. Not you, not you, not the NRA, not people who know what they're talking about. The state. Secondly, it will also force the retailer to record the make and number of the gun. That is a database, which is illegal. It is a goes beyond the single topic in that it requires a series of warnings. Okay, that's the third topic. It creates new fees. Fourth topic, it creates a waiting period. That's the fifth topic. Sixth, it mandates what they've determined is secure gun storage. Does that mean that you can't keep your weapon next to you at night? They don't say, because they don't care, because the point is to set up tripwires so that it's impossible to be a legal gun owner. Eighth, you may face criminal prosecution if someone steals your gun. And if they determine you didn't have it safely stored, the ninth topic in a single topic state, you have to give your signature to purchase a gun. And by doing so, you waive your health care privacy. Literally, buying one of these guns allows any bureaucrat to go look into your health care records or talk to your therapists. It gives a waiver of liability to state government. The 11th is it has new fingerprinting for gun store employees. The 12th is it demands more licensing fees. 13 is another gun registration database. The 14th topic, new age limits. If you're 21 or under, you cannot carry your gun with you. 15, it creates new definitions for firearms. 16th topic, that is a new definition for crimes. Doesn't even include the initial idea, which was enhanced background checks. That's, by the way, that's a digest of the topics in a single topic state. We have got to stop this. Commit now to getting five other gun owners on the phone or on email today. Pledge them to get five other people, and we can defeat this insanity. There's never a focus on the criminal. Never a focus on the criminal at all. Alyssa Hahn reports on guilt, on pleas entered into the relation of the death of Diego Moreno. the officer in Kent who lost his life protecting ours.
We enter pleas of not guilty to both counts.
According to court documents, Sunday morning in the strip mall parking lot, the two 17-year-olds admitted to firing a .45 semi-automatic pistol and a Glock 22 into the air during an argument with another group. They had consumed between 5 and 6 beers each, and one of them had cocaine on him. Then, with their 16-year-old friend behind the wheel, they fled in this red truck that led police on a high-speed chase at speeds of 95 miles an hour.
Now, remember, they said another group. Well, what they mean is another gang, because now we understand from media reports that these folks, these young people, have gang ties. Are you shocked and stunned? See, the focus is never them. Where were their guns stored? Oh, by the way, the driver responsible for the death of Officer Moreno? That driver was driving his dad's car. Shouldn't his dad be criminally liable? Shouldn't we have a safe storage rule for cars? Shouldn't you have to hide your keys or put a wheel lock on your car like they do if you don't pay your parking tickets? Shouldn't we have to do that? The mayor of Kent, Dana Ralph, has noticed an uptick in violence in his community. And those of us who live in the South End, we've noticed it too. We've seen the gang killings. We know it's gang-related. We all know it's gang-related. We all know why. It's because of the legalized heroin trade. It's because of heroin Dan Satterberg and smack daddy Dow Constantine.
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
And he says that like it's a good thing, smack daddy Dow.
Since 2002, we've reduced the average daily population of young people in the juvenile system at the Youth Services Center from 212 to fewer than 50.
So the mayor, Dana Ralph of Kent, says we can't let it continue.
The word that I keep going back to is accountability, and it's accountability on the part of the youth. It's accountability on the part of their parents, on our justice system, our courts, our police departments and cities, and it has to be accountability on the part of the community. We can't let this continue to happen.
No, we can't. And on the community, take a pledge to not vote for this clown.
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
Or the guy running against him. Let the people who are willing to vote for either of those impotent buffoons, in the case of heroin, Dan Satterberg, also a corrupt and impotent buffoon, let them put their names to this. Neither person running for King County prosecutor deserves your vote. None of them. Write in a name. I don't care who you write in. Write in Dana Ralph, mayor of Kent. But the focus, of course, with Nick Hanauer, and the focus with Paul Allen, and the focus with Michael Bloomberg, is your guns. Because your guns are the problem. Everybody knows that. You know about this? This fire on I-5 North? Speaking of accountability and lack thereof. Dory Monson talked with Battalion Chief Eric Hotchkiss about the likely cause of this fire. By the way, it was not a small fire. The fire was so intense, it jumped what is the equivalent of 10 lanes of freeway. If you take into account the median, it jumped that. Now, we've seen the fires in Los Angeles, in the California area. We've seen it destroy homes and lives and businesses, and thank God more lives have not been lost. We've watched that happen. So, the battalion chief, Eric Hotchkiss.
We did find some makeshift cooking materials. We can't definitively say that's the cause, but there is suspicion.
Ah, there are suspicions. Yeah, because neighbors in the area of that say, yeah, there's a homeless camp down there. Yeah, they're always cooking stuff down there. Yeah, we're aware of that. That's always going on. The state has been awarded $5 million grant to fight the opioid crisis. Can I just be honest with you? It would have been faster to give the $5 million to people who burn money for art projects. Like a performance art project. We hate money. Would have been faster and cheaper. Because this $5 million in the hands of Sleepy Jay Inslee.
We got the best weed in the United States.
Is going to be an absolute waste. Because they'll pretend that they are helping.
I've got probably the most transparent administration in our state's history. And I'm
but
proud
the,
of that.
The fact is, just as they've been doing forever, they're going to lie about the numbers. They're going to lie about the people that they're actually getting into housing.
I don't make stuff up. I don't have phony math.
Well, but you do. Man, am I in a mood for a Friday? Ain't I fun? Ain't this fun? Drive Time Radio. Text line is open, 800-465-8770. Tom K. here. Hey, Todd, upholding the people's right to self-defense via firearms is a public health issue. Therefore, I-1639 should not be on the ballot. Yep, that's the logic, so-called, of the heroin judge, Veronica Alicia Galvan, who stole your right to vote against government-funded heroin dens. Ah, this is my favorite Earth, Wind, and Fire song. There's a tribute band to Earth, Wind, and Fire here. So good. I cannot remember their name. We went and danced to them one night. I didn't know how much I dug their music. But the tribute band, I mean, they really actually do a tribute in that they just love the music and the musicianship. Oh, absolutely top-notch. And I probably destroyed their careers because some conservative radio host is out there dancing to them. But brilliant stuff. There is truly in our country, there's an organized effort, and you know this, and one of the things I'm most grateful for the president, from the president, is I don't know why he does this. I mean, I assume because it's in his heart. I'm very grateful for his stance on religious liberty. There is a belief, and I remember during the campaign, people would speak of the president as a broken vessel, but a vessel that God had chosen. And I know people said the same thing about Obama, which I find bizarre, since Obama himself would, well, I don't want to go down that path. I want to focus on the positive. I do. We've got to have a positive story. The president has been very strong on religious liberty and on restoring it and on restoring the ability for people to live their life as religious people. The Democrats, and it's, you don't need to do anything more than examine the purposeful twist in the language that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton undertook when they started to talk about the right to worship. Do you remember this? And when Barack Obama, and purposely, it's so clearly on purpose, removing God from the Declaration of Independence, removing it from Jefferson's thoughts. And in fact, in written placements of the Declaration of Independence on the White House website under Obama, removing that. There is a real effort, and you know this, to recast religious liberty as something you get to do in the dark, in your tiny little weird little church. And the purpose for that is also very clear, because loyalty to God can cut down on your loyalty to government. And I firmly believe, and I hold to this, and I will debate anybody on it, that techniques like telling school children that man with a beard is a woman is tied to breaking people's insistence upon obvious observable truth. Just as I believe the attack against religious faith is a concentrated and real effort to break people's ties to consistent, long-held, largely, almost completely positive systems of belief, be they Christianity, Judaism, some other faiths are very positive. Islam has been, they say, hijacked. Well, you know what? The numbers are very clear. Worldwide, Islam has a real problem, hijacked or not. So a lot of people who believe very violent interpretations of that faith. The organized attack in our area or in our country is manifesting in a couple of ways. One of them is an attack against Catholic hospitals. And this takes on a bizarre, strange complex of ideas. 538, you know that blog, Nate Silver's blog that everybody loves because it's all numbers based? 538 has written a complete takedown of the Catholic Church. These guys are supposed to be numbers analysts. They're supposed to be data analysts. They attack the Catholic Church. Now get this, how they attack this. They attack the Catholic Church for sticking to its beliefs in its hospitals. The Catholic Church, by the way, so we're all clear, has brought more people health care than any other organization in the United States and probably in the world. It's one of their biggest commitments is to bring people to affordable health care, sometimes free health care, oftentimes free health care. And in the United States, the biggest group. So 538 writes this takedown saying, look, these guys, these hospitals, they refuse to do abortions, contraception, sterilization, euthanasia, so-called sex reassignment surgery. They won't do it. And for this reason, they begin to take them down. But follow the logic that doesn't exist. This is so bizarre. They say, unfortunately, the Catholic Church provides way too much health care. Now, follow this. Unfortunately, the Catholic Church provides way too much health care, but they won't do abortions. They provide too much health care, but they won't do euthanasia. They provide too much health care, but they won't provide contraception. Unfortunately, they do things, in other words, like brain surgery. Unfortunately, they do things like life-saving surgeries. And unfortunately, they do things like helping people with kidney transplants, etc., ad nauseum. Unfortunately, they're focused on all this life-saving stuff. I mean, why would you do that? And then they write this. Religious authorities have helped determine what kinds of care can be offered in Catholic institutions based upon theological concepts like the sanctity of human life. But the dignity of human life is not solely a theological concept, though there is, of course, Catholic and Jewish and Islamic, etc., theology related to the concept that human life has unique and inherent value. They are snarking the phrase sanctity of life. They're snarking it. It's to be made fun of. And it gets worse in this takedown of these Catholic hospitals. Here's the killer line to me. The growth in the number of Catholic facilities coincided with a slow push starting in the 1970s to create legal carve-outs for health professionals' moral or religious objections to providing some services. Yeah. The actual reason for those carve-outs that you call them, and again, they're snarking, carve-outs and slow push, menacing words, as Alexandra DeSantis at National Review points out in a great piece, making it sound menacing. The reason those carve-outs came about is because Catholic hospitals were saying, wait, we have to shut down. If you're going to force us to do abortions and euthanasia and so-called sex reassignment surgery, we have to shut down. That's why the carve-outs are there, because one of the biggest healthcare providers, if not the biggest, in the United States of America would cease to exist. Well, that's what the left wants. Catholic Church ceases to provide this care. That's one of their ministries gone. Or the Catholic Church starts doing abortions. And guess what? One of their ministries gone. Now they're just secular. In other words, from the left, heads we win, tails we win. Thank you to President Trump for whatever reason, whatever the cause, whatever the inspiration, for standing up for religious liberties. We'll continue on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Speaking of the president, has the media ever crossed into being the enemy of the people? We're told that that is a ridiculous claim by the president. Is it? It is bumper music by request. You can't blame us. 800-465-8770 is the text line. Twitter is at Toddy Herman. always to communicate with the show. Now, reminder, we will be getting to your emails in the next segment of the program. So the president has started to speak up, and has, I guess, done this for a while, of the press as the enemy of the people. It's true that there have been dictators who've said that. That's a fact. It's also true that Woodrow Wilson said it and Teddy Roosevelt said it and said it in maybe different ways. It's not unique in American history. So my question is the press ever been an enemy of the American people? Shepard Smith on Fox. By the way, just young Tom was asking me this. I think Shepard is tired of being midday. I think he'd like to get a primetime gig. I think he'd like to be on CNN.
For those of you at home, if I may, journalists are not the enemies of the people. It's quite the opposite. Our profession is enshrined in the Constitution, and the Fourth Estate holds the essential job of being your eyes and often ears, and when appropriate, your voice. It's a cornerstone of our republic.
It is. And he's right about that. But here's where he's wrong. He said journalists are not the enemy of the people. I'm sorry, you don't get to do that. You don't get to say that all journalists are friends of America. What percentage of journalists could be enemies of the people? Let's start with a real case. Okay, let's start with one that is absolutely verifiable. Walter Duranty. Walter Duranty was a New York Times reporter who lied for Stalin. Okay, so he went to the Soviet Union and he pretended that the famines weren't a big deal. He pretended that, in order to make an omelet, you need to break a few eggs. Now it's been shown that he knew what he was doing. He was probably just a big believer in communism and wanted very much for it to spread the world. Because, it's a revolution and people get killed. His Pulitzer Prize, I think, did the Times ever give that back? That's a verifiable enemy of the people move. Because you're acting on behalf of the most brutal of dictators. Stalin, and they never want to talk about this, of course, killed more people than Hitler. But of course, communism, that's a good idea in the left's mind. So that's an example, Shepard Smith, of a journalist who was an enemy of the American people. Let me give you another example. Journolist, Ezra Klein's group, during the McCain-Obama presidential race. This was a private discussion group of people, some of them straight news writers, so-called, like, and some of them opinion writers, like Dave Weigel, so-called conservative at the Washington Post. They decided to coordinate their coverage with the sole purpose of stopping McCain because they hated Palin. Now, if they came out and said, hey, we're going to stop McCain, there's nothing enemy about that. You're being a skeptical member of the press. You've crossed out of news and into opinion journalism. You're being straight up and down. I will tell you this. I would do anything in the world to stop Hillary Clinton from ever being president. Anything. Because she is a foul, disgusting, corruptocratic creep of a con artist who should never get near power. So that's flat out. Now, does that make me an enemy of America? No. I'm also not a journalist. But I got to be honest, journolist was an act of people acting as an enemy of the people by hiding what they were really doing, which was coordinating their coverage, even though they worked for competing news organizations, which is, by the way, also illegal from an antitrust perspective, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. That was the action of an enemy of America. Now, Shepard Smith said that journalists are not the enemy of America. Here's the Daily Beast's Ben, is it Ben Stein? I forget his name. Demanding that the press corps conspire to punish the White House.
I was at the Huffington Post during the 2016 campaign when my outlet was barred from covering Donald Trump rallies. And at that point in time, the press should have taken upon itself to form some sort of collective pact to say, if you do this, you will be punished in this way, or this way. The problem is the Correspondents Association hasn't gotten to that point yet, and there needs to be more solidarity among members of the Correspondents Association so that this stuff actually has a penalty associated with it.
Okay, so he's talking about the Correspondents Association saying, okay, President Trump, if you're going to kick some journalists out of events, we're going to go after you. Okay, fair game, but enemy of the people. Barack Obama tapped your phones. You said nothing. Barack Obama tapped your parents' phones. You said nothing. Barack Obama and his FCC floated a proposal to put government overseers in newsrooms so they could determine how stories are sourced and selected. You said nothing. President Obama banned the Associated Press photography pool from the White House because he wanted his own photographer to create his image. Only the Associated Press stood up. Only the Associated Press stood up. Everyone else went with it. When the president, Obama, allowed the Taliban to ship heroin into our country through a southern border, knowingly stopped an investigation. Only the Politico published that. The writer cannot get on TV. He also published the fact with named sources from intelligence and named intelligence professionals that Barack Obama stopped an indictment that would have been moving forward of Hezbollah for partnering with Mexican narco terrorists to bring cocaine into America through sex trafficking, human trafficking, and drug trafficking tunnels and other methods into our country. Same writer cannot get on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, New York Times, etc. to tell that story. They're hiding it from us. Those are the actions that an enemy would take. Most journalists are not the enemy of the people. But the journalists with power often act like it. I like saying that? Nope. Because I agree with Shepard Smith. An independent press is our gift and our hope. And here we are. Favorite part of the program for me, the longer form communications with you. It is emails. You can email me, therman at ktth.com, or the Facebook page is another way, facebook.com/Todd Herman Show. We do the text messages. Those go throughout the show. And then also the tweets, @ToddyHerman. We do this throughout the show as well. Start things off with a Hall of Fame email member, Daryl from Parts Unknown. Topic's traffic. Hey, Todd, you were just ragging on WashDOT director Roger Millar. He deserves it. Traffic flow in cities, and I'm sure you've seen it. I have in Australia, the UK, wherever. All traffic comes to a stop. Pedestrians then cross in any direction. Then that's it. Vehicles travel. Then it has at it without the worry of having to wait for pedestrians impeding them if they're making a turn, left or right. Sometimes I'm ashamed to have been a DOT employee. Though the earlier leadership was far superior to the present crop, sign of the times, I guess, in my tenure, I did work with some excellent associates and leaders, and then there were the others. Now, it's all part of life. Keep up the attack, bro. Your mind, its capacity, and ability blows me away. Darth. Hey, thank you, Daryl. I appreciate the note, and I didn't know you'd work for those guys. Yeah, I got a lot of response to the mention of Roger Millar. If you didn't hear it, Roger Millar, the so-called executive director of the Washington State Department of Transportation, has explained that stopping traffic congestion is impossible. Now, try this with your boss at where you work. Your boss says, hey, how you doing in your job? Well, I've determined my doing my job is, it's impossible. See how long you last at your job. Speaking to the DOT, Julia from Olympia on the DOT. That's a made up name. I made it up for this person. You'll see why. Todd, please don't share my real name. Make one up for me. As you can see in this photo, I work inside the Washington State Department of Transportation offices in Olympia. Please understand something. There are a bunch of us here who are just sick with what this agency is doing to the commuters of our state. We're simply powerless to stop it. There are a whole bunch of people like me who came here out of college with a genuine interest in moving people and products to help our state's economy. We are now near retirement and have watched this agency become a morass of politicians. Roger Millar is not exactly a con man, although I see why you believe he is because of the poison fruits of his tenure. Roger just wants his very high salary, his outrageous retirement, and his even more outrageous consulting and lobbying gig when he retires, in quote marks. He's simply a politician by another name. There's not an engineer at WashDOT, for all I know, who believes for a second that it's impossible to solve traffic congestion, and many engineers here are simply sick inside from hearing Millar continue to make that claim. Keep telling the truth, Todd. Julia. Hey, Julia, I appreciate the note. And yeah, I have erased your email, and I will not, never divulge it. Millar is an embarrassment. He's an embarrassment to honesty. He's an embarrassment to the very notion of public service. Millar is also a coward. He has refused to come on this program. But, oh, is he going to be rudely treated? No, not in person, not face to face. I'm very, very, very good at having civil conversations with people face to face, even people who I know I cannot stand their profession. And in the case of Millar, he's simply afraid. He cannot stand in or withstand even a mild question, such as, how is it impossible when we can go to the moon, when we can build microtechnology, how is it impossible to solve congestion? The fact is this, I could do a better job. I've never worked in transportation, but this is a factual statement. I could do a better job at running that agency than Millar, but I'd never last because I would not take the heed of the politicians. You want to know who'd really do a great job of running that agency? An actual engineer. This is a fact as well. If you peel off the layer of bureaucracy at the Washington State Department of Transportation, and I mean literally fire every bureaucrat, and lift the engineers, you'd have traffic flowing in our state in a couple of years. Gigi from Seattle, on the personal notes we do on the show, we wrap up the day with a personal note. Hey, Todd, I wanted to pass my thoughts on to you about your final thought segments. When you spoke of being surprised and honored that someone with the FBI would listen to your show, it hit me fairly hard. Your insight and thoughts are important to every one of your listeners, even those who you think may not listen. The reason I listen is because you are a voice on the airwaves in this area. You speak eloquently, have great insight, and you don't pull punches on issues. That's why I started listening when you first got your own show. However, the one thing that's hooked me in each and every one of your shows is your final thought segment. It means personal note. For you to open up on so many occasions and bear your thoughts on family or even the small anecdotes you sometimes use, makes you that much more of a great and honest talk radio host. That you feel close enough with us as your listeners to be able to do so means much more to us than you can ever know. Your final thoughts have always given me a moment to reflect upon my life, and they've caused me to choke up, fight back tears, smile happily, and given me much to ponder. And none of those are in any particular order, sometimes all at once. You do a great job in every segment, but your show close is the one that I usually remember the most out of every day. Thank you for being a host who willingly invites your listeners into your life and your most personal thoughts. Thanks again, and don't stop fighting the good fight. Thank you, Gigi. Appreciate that. Yeah, I met Gigi when I made a remark about, well, that's not a remark. I did a full-on rant about the FBI and how it's become poisoned. And Gigi was kind enough to write to me and remind me that there's folks like him out in the field with the FBI who they're doing the good work. They risk their lives. And so forevermore, I've reminded myself and the audience that when I talk about the insanity and the politicized FBI, I'm, of course, talking about Washington, D.C., and I'm talking about the people there because folks like Gigi, right, they're still trying to do the good right and their good work, and they still are doing the good work, just like with WashDOT. All these emails I got from people who worked at WashDOT, right? Now to the Facebook page and a message from Stacy. Hey, Todd, Sound Transit is killing off buses to the UW Huskies games from Federal Way in Renton, so you have to take the Angle Lake Terminal. So the UW doesn't let you know the time of the game until about a week before. Then you find out, you try to get on the train. Supposedly, the train is faster, but you have to get there and almost surely won't be enough parking. Sound Transit and UW. Great minds thinking stupidly. Nah, Stacy, you know what? I appreciate the note. The fact is, Sound Transit's a criminal conspiracy. They're not a transportation agency. Everybody on that board, and your mayor may be on that board, the mayor of Auburn's on that board, Dave Summers from Snohomish is on that board. Every single person on the Sound Transit board is complicit in this criminal conspiracy. And if I can get an opportunity to look one of these people in the eye, I will say, I'll say it politely, non-threateningly, but I will look at them and say, you are breaking the law. You are involved in a massive fraud. And how dare you not be a whistleblower for it? You know, when you sign to be on the Sound Transit board, when you're appointed by the scam artists who run the damn thing, do you know that you have to take a pledge to support everything they do? Ryan on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Todd Herman Show. Hey, Todd, do you think Jenny Durkin's going to win re-election? I think she is. Why? Because she hasn't publicly done anything other than hate Trump. That's all it's needed in this area. I have people who tell me, because I work in the city of Seattle, all they want is someone who hates Trump. That our city is bound to be the resistance. Well, I guess that's what they want. Jackie on the Facebook page. Hey, Todd, if you really want to make Sound Transit look bad, I suggest you start contacting people who are having property acquired by them for Linwood Link's Federal Way Link. There are a lot of unhappy people who feel like they're being screwed over by the agency. I would give specifics, but I don't want to lose my job. Okay. Point taken. I will do that, Jackie, and thanks for listening to the show. All right, this is the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. We come back on the Todd Herman Show. Speaking of Sound Transit, you know what's weird? How those real estate costs always tend to shock those guys. What are they, stupid? Nope, they're not.